keeping us informed about our missionaries, what's going on in their lives, and the board in the back, constantly always updated. Make sure you look at it, and you'll find out what's going on in our missionaries' lives. Hallelujah. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And I want to talk to you today about there is power in Jesus' name. There is power in Jesus' name. And today, worship, I just sense an awesomeness of God's power among us and the flow of the Spirit and what God is doing. And definitely enter into what He's doing among us. And truly, He's doing something great among us. But we're going to stand in honor reading the word of the Lord this morning, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Some might say this sounds like a Christmas scripture, and it is, but yet there's something in this scripture verse that just brings to highlight something about the name of Jesus. And it reads, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her in public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Father, we just want to thank you once again for the blessing and the honor just to come to worship you and honor you. All creation cries out. We may not hear it, but all creation cries out. It's moaning. It's waiting for the day of redemption. And Lord, we too, O God, in our hearts, we cry out to you today. And Lord, we wait for that day of redemption when you come back and you bring your people home. When the rapture of the church takes place and we'll be evermore in your presence. Lord, we see that day approaching, but we're going to keep our eyes on you because you're the author and you're the finisher of all of our faith in this room this day. Give ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit is saying this day to this church at this time. And Father, we'll be grateful for it. And we give you all the glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. During the 1960s, many children were born to a generation of adults that were known as the hippies that lived in the Santa Cruz area of California. And what was amazing about this generation of parents that had kids, they would name their kids not the common name that we would have today, like a John or a David or a Marie or a Judy, or you get what I'm saying, or a Mike. But they named their kids names that fit the culture that they were in of the day. Some of you can guess what those names are. Time Warp was one. Spring Fever was another one. Moonbeam and Earth and Love and Precious Promise. I went to school with a girl. Her first name was Sugar and her last name was Sweet. So her name was Sugar Sweet. What a name. She was not sweet at times, but that was her name, Sugar Sweet. And that's what her parents gave her as a name. And when the kindergarten classes would come together to meet at their first school year, the teacher of that class knew they had strange names, so she gave them a tag and told them to write the child's name on the front and then to put on the back where the child needs to be dropped off. So every parent did that. They wrote the name of the child on the front, and on the back of the badge they would write the place where the child would be dropped off the bus that the child takes. So as the teacher went around the class, started looking at the names of all the kids, she didn't think nothing wrong with this one, but she came upon a name that says Fruit Stand. So all day long, that kid, she would say, "Fruit Stand, would you like a snack? Fruit Stand, would you like to get a book from the library?" But the teacher was getting no response from this kid. And she goes, well, he must be special or something because he's not really answering me. But I just keep on treating him as a normal child. And at the end of the day, after they got done with all their things, she lined the kids up and she says, okay, each of you, do you know what bus you're going on? And if you know what bus you're going on, do you know where you're going to get dropped off? And the teacher looked at fruit stand and said, fruit stand, do you know what bus you're going on? And she got no reply. No reply. And she says, well, let me look on the back of his badge. Maybe he will tell me where he needs to go or what bus he needs to be on. And she flipped the tag over and she saw the name Anthony. All day long, he was being called fruit stand when his name was Anthony. Now, maybe the kid couldn't speak up. Maybe he was afraid to speak up. I don't know. But there's just something that is found in that name. And I saw that and I just thought about how much each of us, maybe we have names that are named after our grandfathers, our grandmothers, named after our own mother or father, maybe named after our favorite uncle or something of that nature. I mean, ancestry gives us a good indication of that. But here in the Bible, we see Jesus was given a name that was different from his father's name, Joseph, and different from his Mary's name, the ancestry of Mary and of that nature. And today, that's what I want to do. I want to focus in on the name of Jesus and the meaning of the name of Jesus in Scripture. So let me read some scriptures to you here this morning. Why is there power in that name? Why is there power in the name of Jesus? Is the name of the Lord that important in my life today? And should it be as important in my life today than any time ever before? Exodus 20, verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Micah 4, 5 says, we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Colossians 3, 17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Philippians 2, 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Psalm 1:8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you will give him that name Jesus, and he will save his people from sin. Psalm 72, verse 17, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continuous all as long as the sun shall shine. Matthew 18:5, whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:12, as many as receive him, to them he gave them power to become what? The children or the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There's something about that name that means something. There's just something about that name, Jesus, that should mean something in our hearts and life. We know names represents a person. It represents what person believes. Maybe it represents a heritage of a family. I know I gave my first son's name, Nathaniel, mean God has given. God has given. We lost our son 2 times. He died on us, but God brought him back to life. And we gave him that name, Nathaniel, which means God has given. My second son, Benjamin, his name means Father's right hand. And if you know my son, Benjamin, he looks like me. I hope he doesn't act like me, but he's like me. He's a father's right hand. And then Abby's name we gave to her because it says, Father's source of joy. Abby's the joy of my heart. Abby's the joy of my heart. The only daughter that I have, but yet she's the joy of my heart. The name means something. And each of you are given a name. But Jesus was given a name for a reason, to save his people from their sins. That name represents the personality, the character, the ideal, the value, the activity, the work, history, reputation, and even the lifestyle of that person. Interesting, my French name is Grenier. But in French, grenier means the attic. So somewhere in my history of my family tree, I had a grandfather that lived in the attic. And they would say, that's George who lives in the attic. And that became our heritage name, Grenier. Maybe some of you have that same way. You can talk about the history of your family or the history of your name and what your name means. But yeah, we see in the name of Jesus, that name is given to him because of what God says it means. Why is this so true to you and me today? Because God speaks of his name 65 times in that phrase, my name. We also see also that God speaks in this phrase, your name, referring God speaking of Jesus, is used 101 times. We see that the name of the Lord is used 95 times in Scripture. And that name of reference to Jesus or to God is referred to more than 85 times. So the Bible records the word name in reference to God or Christ 646 times. Don't you think that means something? There's an importance on that. There's an importance on that. So I think the question today is this, and if you're sitting here or listening online, the question would have to be today to you, what does the name of Jesus have to do with me? What does the name of Jesus have to do with me? How does the name of Jesus affect how we live? Why am I here today? Who am I worshiping? Am I worshiping along with the worship team? Or am I worshiping God and I just enter into worship with the worship team? Why is the purpose of that name? What does that name mean to me? What does it mean to me? Why do we pray in Jesus' name? How are people healed in Jesus' name? How are families restored in Jesus' name? How are teenagers affected by the name of Jesus? Why is the power of Jesus' name so powerful in the church today? That's the things that I want to talk on today. So the first one is this. There is power in Jesus' name to come directly into God's presence. There is power in Jesus' name to come directly into God's presence. But let me just reiterate once again. If you don't have a relationship with him, you're not going to be able to enter directly into his presence. You're not. That relationship with him opens the door for you directly to come into his presence. To come into his presence. I'm sure that was, as in I no slightedness here at all, making fun of anybody, but I'm sure the President of the United States, his wife doesn't knock on the door of his Oval Office to enter. She just enters, and I'm sure he welcomes her without any entrance or any fanfare or knock or anything like that. I used to tell that to my kids. Do you ever need me? Call me anytime. If I can't answer, I won't answer. But if I can, I'm going to answer. When I was a young pastor, a part of this church, or when I started pastoring this church, I used to have board meetings. And I used to tell my kids, you can interrupt my board meeting anytime you want. If I'm in prayer, you want to come and talk to me, by all means. My prayer time is not my time with God, but it's God's time with me. And if my kids want to enter into that, they can. There's just something about knowing that you can enter into a presence and be welcome. You can be entered into any presence and be welcome in that way. How can we, who are sinners, come into the very presence of God? None of us are whole by nature. We're all sinners saved by grace. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one person in this room that can say, I never sinned at all in my life. I mean, if you did, I would question you and say, are you being truthful or are you a liar? Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the scripture says. Who am I to argue against what God's word says? But yet there are some people in this situation that do. They argue God's word, and the only reason they argue it is to try to prove it wrong, but when they're really wrong themselves. Listen to what the scripture says in Matthew or Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must what? Be saved. I'm giving you scripture. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. For whatever or whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 10:43, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were of you, ye were all washed and sanctified, but ye are justified by the name of Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:12 states, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you, or your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So what am I trying to say today? Why am I reading scripture? To prove what's in that name. It's not what I say, it's what the Bible says. That's the whole fact of everything we live in and we breathe. And the basis of Christianity is based on what the Bible says. Even my words could be wrong. Even what I say could be wrong. But hopefully the scripture plays out enough and shows us enough. There's something about that name and what that name does. In Jesus' name, through his accomplishment on Calvary, on the cross, we have the privilege to come into the very presence of God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't come into the presence of God. You just can't. There's a door that is not open to you. There's a barrier. There's a break. There's something that will not allow you to enter into his presence. Now, God can enter into your life. God can come into your problems. God can come into your situations. God can come into your circumstances. But you can't go into him unless your life is right with him. If you're living in sin, if you're habitually committing sin, if you're doing anything that cuts off your relationship with God, you can't come into his presence. He may come into your situation, but you can't come into his presence. I want you to get that. Because so many times we as Christians, because we feel, or people that claim to be Christians, because they feel that God comes into their lives, that they're all right with God the way they live. And I'm here to tell you today, if your life is not right with God, you got to get it right. You got to get it right. You can't keep on playing for the sake of just playing. Years ago, I remember people used to play house. Young adults used to play house because they just didn't want to get married. They just want to play house. And I said, that's not God's way for you. God's way for you is to be committed to another and get married. Right? Don't play house. Get serious. Be committed to relationship. I'm saying to you, don't pretend that you know God and don't know God. You're playing religion. You're not playing relationship. You're playing a religion. You're not playing relationship. No longer outsiders and strangers can just enter into God's presence. You got to be forgiven. You got to be washed. You got to be sanctified. You got to be justified. We now have access into the very presence of a holy God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and because we accepted it and we believe it and we applied it to our hearts, and we ask God to forgive us and make us right with him. And now we have a right to be called the child of God. We have a right to come into the presence of God. Let me go on to the next one. There is power in Jesus' name to see answer to prayer. How can we be heard? How can we receive answer in prayer? So many people say, I pray, but I get no results. I pray and I pray, Pastor, but God does nothing for me. I pray and I just don't see anything happening in my life. Well, the question I have to ask you is this. Maybe your life is not in God and God is not in you. So you can't see the answer to that prayer. John 16:23-24 says, in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatsoever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying that in the past, you haven't asked anything in my name because you weren't in me. But now you're in me. What you ask in my name, I will give to you. Now, that's not a blanket policy, not an insurance policy. It's not a policy of waiver because you ask in Jesus' name. It's not a hocus pocus formula. I want you to get that. It's not a hocus pocus formula. If I just mention Jesus' name in there, I'm going to get what I want. The sons of Sergivus says, I command you by Jesus whom Paul preached to come out, that demon to come out of that man that was possessed with a demon. And that man that was possessed with a demon says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. You, I don't. See, there's just something about knowing Jesus, not using the authority of somebody else, but you having that authority yourself. Having that authority yourself, having Jesus in your life, in your heart, and you can call upon that name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. John 15:16. Then the Father will give you whatsoever you ask in my name. 1 Corinthians 1:12. Together with all those things, everywhere you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? That's the question that I'm asking you today. And the question has to be answered in this way. It means to pray in harmony with His will and His character. Understand, when you pray in harmony of His will and His character, now you're not praying your own desires, your own wishes. You're praying God's desires, God's wishes that He has implanted in your soul, in your spirit, and in your heart. That's what you're doing. You're getting into harmony with Him. To pray out of a life that is obedient is so important. To pray out of a clearer conscience is so important. To pray out of a heart surrendered to His will is so important. To pray out of a will committed to God's purpose, it's so important. Because if you are not willing to do any of those, it's going to be kind of hard for God to do what He needs to do through you. And He can do. He can do far above what you could even ask or think. He can do more for you than anyone else can ever do for you. That's what God can do. He can do it. To pray in Jesus' name means that we can't live in sin and just tack on the words Jesus' name at the end of our prayers. We can't pray in faith while we live contrary to His will. Prayer is only effective to the degree that I live to please the Lord. Prayer is only beneficial to the degree I support what His name stands for. Prayer is only militant against principalities and powers and darkness when I pray in confidence that I'm praying against the enemies of God. That's what prayer does, praying in Jesus' name. I'm giving you a lot, and I hope you're getting it. Third one, there is power in Jesus' name to stand against the devil. Can I hear an amen? There's power in the name of Jesus to stand against the devil. Is the Bible biblical where it uses the name of Jesus to come against evil powers? Sure it is. Psalm 44:5. Through you we push back our enemies, and through your name we trample our foe. Acts 16:18. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, that Spirit left that girl. Left her. You can read of that account. In 2 Chronicles 14:11, then Elsa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against us. So there's something when you realize you're not going to win. And that's what you need to realize every time you go into battle. You are not going to win. God never intended you to win by yourself. But if you have Him in your life, He gives you the power. And He does it more for you than you do it for yourself. That's what God is able to do. Luke 7:10-17. The 72 that were sent out came back with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us. In your name. There's just something to know that the name of Jesus, there's power in that name. In the name of Jesus, you have authority. In the name of Jesus, you go forth, not for yourself or for your church or for your name, your religion, but you go forth for Him. You go forth for Him. 1 Samuel 17:45, David said to the Philistines, that giant, that Goliath, You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, our God. There's something about coming against the enemy with God on your side. Church, we have the answer for the world today. Andre Crouch used to sing that song years ago. I remember that. Carnegie Hall, going there as a young kid or a young teenager and listen to the testimony of Nicky Cruz and Dave Wilkerson and also Andre Crouch, who sung that song, and I won't sing it, but Jesus is the answer for the world today. For there's no other way, there's no other way that we can get to him but through Jesus. There's just something about that name that does something. Church, we have the answer for the world today. How many believe in the power of the gospel? How many believe that Jesus can overcome every evil stronghold? How many believe that in Jesus' name, the Lord can break the power of every sin? I believe that and I still live it and I want to continue to believe it. Another one, there is power in Jesus' name to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about that as much as we should, but there's power in Jesus' name to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to fill you with the power that is not within you, but power that comes from on high. John 14, 26, but the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peter replied in Acts 2, 38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. There's just something about that name that brings power, that brings gifts. Jesus has promised to fill every hungry and thirsty person with the Holy Spirit. If you're not hungry, if you're not thirsty for God's Holy Spirit, you're not going to be filled. But if you're thirsty and you're hungry, and you say, God, I want it, I'm ready for it, he's going to give it to you. Jesus said, in my name, I'm sending the Comforter to you. The paraphrase is the Greek word, paraphrase, which means a comforter. Jesus wants to fill you and everyone with the Holy Spirit. Boy, there's so much more I can say on that. Let me go to the next one. There is power in Jesus' name to endure any affliction. There's a philosophy out there that says today in the church world, if you're being afflicted with sickness, then you must be in sin. That's a lie of the devil. God brings you through things and he brings you through where you're at. If you're being afflicted with sickness, maybe that's God's way to draw you closer to him. I don't know. Can affliction come from the devil? Sure. But a affliction can also come for a lifestyle that you live. Not a healthy one as well. So when we look at this, we have to be mindful that we're asking God to go above the affliction. There is power in Jesus' name to endure afflictions. Acts chapter 5, 41 says this, the apostle left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they have been counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of the Lord. Acts 9, 16, I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. Acts 15, verse 25, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 10, I appeal you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there will be no division among you. Affliction comes in many, many ways. 1 Peter 4, 14, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and the God of rest rests on you. Hebrews 13, 5. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Matthew 10, 22. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. There's something about afflictions that come our way that we don't try to categorize it to a point that we miss out on what God's trying to do in our lives. Affliction is not a punishment. Affliction is God's way of bringing you closer to him. Affliction is God's way for you to draw upon his strength. Affliction comes your way, maybe for his name's sake. And sometimes we don't look at afflictions that way. You can forgive offenders for his name's sake. That's affliction. You can walk through every valley for his name's sake. You can sacrifice without complaint for his name's sake. You can endure every affliction for his name's sake. You can stay sweet in a sour place for his name's sake. You can tithe with joy for his name's sake. Amen on that one. You can be corrected and teachable for his name's sake. You can suffer wrong and not retaliate for his name's sake. See, church, you can be rejected and resisted and betrayed and forsaken, but you got to rejoice for his name's sake, because we go through those things so he will draw us closer to him. Let me go on to another one. I could probably camp here on all these, but as I went through these in my study, I said, boy, Lord, there's so much scripture that proves these points. The F, next one, F, says this: there is power in Jesus' name to be healed of every sickness. How many believe Jesus can heal? I know doctors can give prescriptions, doctors can give diagnoses, doctors can do and be used of God, and you'd be used by their hands to accomplish certain things. But there's just something about always going to Dr. Jesus first. Always giving Dr. Jesus the opportunity to do miracles and wonders on our behalf. Miracles and wonders. James chapter 5, verse 14. Some of you say, Pastor, why do you always pray up front? Why do you anoint people with oil? This is why. James 5, 14. Is there one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and they will be what? Healed. Acts 4, 30. Stretch out your hand and heal. Perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of that holy servant Jesus. Acts 3, 6, and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have I give unto you. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. There's just something about giving something you don't have, but because of the relationship you have with Jesus, there's power in that name. Acts 3, 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know has been made whole. You know, there's just something about that man at the Gate of Beautiful. He was there for 38 years. All those times that Jesus passed that gate. And it's not that Jesus didn't care for that man that was at the Gate of Beautiful at the Temple Mount. He was there for 38 years. Jesus was just there for 33 years. You would think that Jesus, in his love and his compassion, would have said to that same man, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, rise up and walk in my name. No, didn't happen. What was Jesus doing with that man that sat at that gate for 38 years? Jesus was saying, you are for my disciples to take care of. You are for my disciples, for them to use my name to bring healing and glory to my name. You know, sometimes God doesn't heal right away because God's got a greater purpose and a greater plan than we could ever realize. God can provide and meet every need in your life. That's who he is. He's our provider. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. God can. But so many times we look at how we want God to meet our need instead of God saying, you know what? Let me meet your need the way I want to meet it. So many times we mess up what God wants to do. There's power in Jesus' name. Just not to forgive, to give grace to endure, but to heal just not broken bodies, but broken lives. We live in a culture today where people are broken. People are broken. Broken thinking, broken hearts, broken families, broken lives. People are broken today. And they need to be fixed, not by just any type of remedy that society has to offer. But they need to have a touch of Jesus in their life. They need a change. And that change only comes through Jesus and only through that name. Let me go on to the next one if I can. There is power in Jesus' name to be changed in any area of your life. I don't know what areas you are struggling with today. I don't know what you're fighting against. I don't know those things that are inside of you that nobody knows about. We always talk about skeletons that are in our closets. We talk about those demons that are underneath the bed. We talk about those thoughts and things that have happened to us, that have afflicted us and caused us to do things that we would not do, but we do because that's what happened to us. Sometimes things happen to us and we end up being cloned into that. And we don't want to be like that. And we struggle with that. Constantly we struggle with that. But there's power in Jesus' name to change any area of your life. I need to stress that. Any area. Don't think that God just works here and there, and God works in that one and that one, but he doesn't work in me. No, he works in you. And you may not see it, you may not understand it, but he's working in you. If you're a child of the King, if you belong to Jesus, his whole goal is to make you more like him. Who you for who he foreknow, he did predestinate to be formed, to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Romans 8:29. 2 Thessalonians 1:12 says that the name of Jesus our Lord, he will be glorified in our lives. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with his inscriptions. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Church, that's 2 Timothy 2:19. That's not John 1:17. That's my birthday, 1:17. I might as well throw it that way, right? It's not what I say. It's what the Word of God says. It's hard to tell people today that they can't live like that. It goes against God's Word. Well, I have my opinion. Your opinion means nothing to God. God loves you. He cares about you. He's going to respect you. But when you're dead wrong, as a loving father, what does he do? He corrects you. It'd be foolish for a father or a mother to see what their kid is doing, knowing that it's harmful for them, and not try to correct them. I remember when my kids were young, I was there. I helped guide them. I led them. But now they're older, I'm older, I'm just an advisor to them. I could just speak into their lives. That's all I can do. It's up to them to make their choices. Doesn't matter if I like it or not. It's their choice. I brought them through what I needed to bring them through. I got to believe that what I instructed them and taught them, that they're going to make the right choices in life. And if not, there's consequences to those choices. We all face consequences. It's a part of life. But yet, if we don't want to listen to what God has for us, things are going to happen in our lives, and sometimes we might not like what happens. Faith in his name or in his ability to change any area of your life that needs to be changed. God can do that. He can change those areas. He can change that stinking thinking. He can do that. That's what God does. That's what I love about him the most. You know, no matter how innocent we may be in our walk with him, if we're praying, Lord, if I'm doing something wrong, not right, please convict me and get me on the right path. Because I don't want to lose out. I don't want to lose out with him. But there's also got to be another concrete belief that you believe there's consequences to your sin. Because if you don't believe there's consequences to your sin, you're not going to change. What's that saying that health people use? That the pain of change will never come. Help me. Something about that, right? Where you are, something like that, right? There might be a shorter version of that, Amy, but that's a good version. Thank you. Right? If you don't feel the pain, you're not going to change. Right? It's not going to happen. God has a way to cause that pain to come in our lives. But pain is good, too. It does bring about endurance. It does bring about a sense of accomplishment through that. And over time, you push through it. In that way, in a good way. Let me share one last scripture with you found in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. I love this verse. It says this, "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name." It's not about me. It's not. When you come to the altar and ask a prayer, it's not about that person that's praying for you. It's not. It's about your relationship with God. It's about your relationship with your God. We just want to agree with you, and we want to pray with you, and we want to believe that God's going to do something on your behalf. This is what it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe." I don't follow these signs, they follow me. Okay? It says the first one, they shall cast out devils. I already established it. We have power to confront the evil, to confront the devil. I remember one time ministering in the jail, and a satanic spirit of laughter started happening in one of our church services. And right away in my spirit, I knew that wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. And right away, I looked at that spirit of laughter, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. I said, you have no authority here. You're disrupting the church service. You're disrupting the gospel. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And that spirit of laughter jumped from that person to another person, and they started laughing. And I bind that spirit again in the name of Jesus, and it jumped from that person to another person. And I bind it in the name of Jesus. Finally, I said to everyone there, grab a hold of hands, and we're going to bind this spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And we bound it, and it left. It left. I remember one of the officers says, what just happened? I said, this power of God fell in this place. It bound the enemy in all of his working powers. Church, is there something about taking authority over what the enemy's doing? You shall be able to cast out devils. The next one, it says this, you shall speak with new tongues. I have a hard enough time speaking English. Gladys speaks four languages. I don't know how many languages Emmanuel speaks. At least I can say two, right? But you know Swahili as well, right? So that might be three. I have a hard time speaking English. I'm glad God gives me a new language. And it's a heavenly language. And I don't have to learn it. I don't have to learn about the verbs and the vowels and the adjectives and the adverbs and the nouns and all the other things that go with it. God just looses my tongue and I just speak as the Spirit just flows through me. God knows that, and that's what he does. They shall speak with new tongues. Power in the name of Jesus to witness and live as Spirit-filled life. The next one, they shall take up serpents. I'm not one for taking up serpents. And they shall drink deadly things, and they shall not be hurt. I don't believe this means that I'm going to be testing or brazing and trying to pick up a snake to prove that if I got bit by one, that nothing will happen to me. I don't want to test God like that. I believe this scripture verse is really saying that if somebody purposely used these weapons against you, they're not going to prosper. That if somebody tries to afflict you with a snake bite or somebody tries to make you drink poison without you knowing it, that the name of Jesus will protect you. I'd rather believe that than test God and pick up a snake and hissy fit in the face. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. For me, it's not going to happen. Because I don't want to tempt God. I don't want to test God. But I believe that there's power in that name for divine protection. God protects us. God protects us. Beth, were you with us on that mission trip to Mexico that year? You were, right? I mean, we were dealing with some demon power there. Demon. I mean, in Mexico, in La Margarita, in Pueblo, Mexico, Satan had a stronghold on that place. He was afflicting our doctors. I was even afflicted. It was others being afflicted. But we prayed the name of Jesus over that town. And today there's a thriving church there, doing great. It's prospering. It's doing something good for the Lord. The DeMartinos, the missionaries that we support, are very instrumental in that. Now they're retired. See, church, there's sometimes that we don't know what happens. But we do know this. That when you touch the power of evil, the power of evil will do everything it can to come against you. Because they know they've lost. They know they lost. Let me go on to the last one. Number four, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. There's power in that name to heal illnesses. I believe that. How does this all take place? It all takes place because you have a relationship with him, number one. And number two, you believe in everything he says to be true. I know that may be hard sometimes, but as the worship team comes up, we live in a result-oriented society today, don't we? We live in a performance-based society. You're judged by how you perform, right? You have different things that are done. You have different things. Abby, what does teachers have? They evaluation, right? They have that. Employers, what do the employers have? Evaluation does well. Okay, that's a good word to use. Evaluation. Right? We all have one way or another. We are in a performance society today. You can't escape it. If you don't do well, something happens. Maybe you get a pay grade down, or they let you go, or something of that nature. So we live in a very rewarding a performance society. Look at school, right? You receive certificates for performances? Yeah? Do I dare look at you, Kira? No. No, I know you do. You're good. I never want to put somebody on the spot. Hey, right? Accomplishments. One way or another, you that's what happens. It's just the way our society is. Let me ask you the question. Do you think God looks at your life the same way? Does God look at how well you perform? He does, but he really doesn't. He doesn't look at how you perform. What God looks at is your heart. Is your heart right? Is your heart right? That's all that matters to God. You know, it's not about performance. It's not how well I preach my sermon today. It's not how well, you know, the worship team plays today. It's not how well the nursery workers and what they do in the nursery or children's church. It's not how well they do. It's their heart. God looks at the heart. God doesn't like when we start looking at other people as performance. God wants us to look at other people as his thoughts. Hey, that person messed up. I'm going to pray for them a little bit more. That person made a mistake. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus on their life, that God's protection will be upon them. Right, church? That's what we're about. We're family here. We're family, not to criticize one another, but to support one another. He's not impressed by our rituals. He's not. He wants our heart, and he wants everything that comes from our heart to be right. They that worship me must worship me in what? Spirit and in truth. There's something about doing that. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. If there's anybody who's taken score of your performance today, it's Satan. Satan is taking record of your performances today. Every time that you don't do something, every time you say something that criticize or make fun of somebody, Satan is taking a record of that because he's the accuser of the brethren. And though you yourself sometimes may take a record of what you do, but you need to know once God's forgiven you, it's what? It's forgotten. Once God's forgiven you, it's forgotten. Satan will always try to remind you of that. And that's what you got to tell Satan, get out of here. God forgave me. It's gone. Leave me alone. I'm going to worship God and I'm going to serve him. King David says, Lord, though record is kept of my wrong. That's what he said. Who could stand in your presence? But David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. There's just something about that. We can't stand before him based on what we've done. All we can do is stand before him based on what he's done for us. Stop measuring your performance by what others say. Measure the love that you have for Christ in your heart this day.